Our reading this morning is from John's Gospel, beginning chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. John 12, verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Morning. My notes are in Arabic. I'll try to translate to English. I told Carolyn a couple of days ago, I lived in Jerusalem altogether 33 years, or in Israel. But I'm happy I was not crucified like Jesus. The Palm Sunday is a special day in Jerusalem. Since we were little kids, we know that. We all celebrate it with the big, huge crowds coming, Christians from all over Palestine, Israel. and gather and do this procession down from the same way that Jesus walked down to the old city. A great, great time of celebration going into the old city of Jerusalem. It is also a week when a lot of pilgrims come, especially from Cyprus and Greece, to Jerusalem. And the Christian quarter of the old city of Jerusalem, you cannot find one house with one empty bed. Everybody comes and they rent kind of like rooms. They share the small houses of the old city. And the city is absolutely packed with people coming to celebrate Palm Sunday and the week after Easter. It's a time when Jerusalem is absolutely heaving with people, just like the time of Jesus, at the time when Jesus was there. The background is Jesus coming from Jericho, bringing salvation to the house of Zacchaeus. The background is Jesus coming through Jericho, healing the blind man, Bartimaeus, say in Arabic, and then coming. The background is raising Lazarus from the dead. This is the background of the story, Jesus coming into Jerusalem. As always, wherever he comes, wherever he enters, he brings salvation or he demands change. And so Jesus goes to Jerusalem. In that, during that time, because of the huge miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, the Jews were, when they say the Jews means the religious leaders of the Jewish people, the Pharisees, the priests, and so on, conspired to kill Jesus. But that was not the hour or the time. So Jesus actually leaves Jerusalem to Ephraim, which is a village or a town just northeast of Jerusalem at the edge overseeing the Jordan Valley in the wilderness. At this time, there is a Jewish settlement on that site, Ephraim called as well. And Jesus stays there for a while. When the time comes, he goes back to Bethany, to the house of Lazarus, Mary, or to Bethany, not to the house of Lazarus, but to the house of Simon the leper. And there he is celebrated. There he is welcomed and honored with a big feast. And Mary comes and honors Jesus with the perfume that she pours on him. Everybody was in anticipation. Everybody was expecting something big to happen. People were expecting something huge to take place. Jesus performed this miracle. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. The feast is coming. Everybody in Jerusalem is expecting something big to happen. And everybody was flooding to see the one who raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody's hopes were very high. Finally, maybe the kingdom of God is coming. The salvation, the Yeshua that we have been waiting for is coming. And if not Jesus, then who would it be? If not the one who was able to raise Lazarus from the dead, who would it be? No one but him. They were expecting, as in Psalm 118:25, Ana Hoshana, Ana Hetzilna. Come and save us. Come and rescue us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The cry of the Jewish people, the cry of anticipation for generation after generation after generation. It's a cry that has become part of their existence, so they are. Come, oh, come and save us. And we know that it will come from up above. Only the Messiah. This is something specific for the Messiah. And that's why the priests were so angry. Can't you see what they are saying? They are claiming that you are the Messiah. Tell them to shut up. This is blasphemy. Jesus said, if they will go silent, the stones will speak. The stones will speak. The revelation is made. He is the Messiah. Then Jesus comes to Jerusalem. And we wonder why the week after crucifixion, after Hosanna in the highest, why the week after there's the crucifixion? What is this sudden change? Imagine you put all your hopes on someone and then you find exactly the opposite. Total disappointment. How could you be arrested like that? How could? Where is your power? Where is your power of raising Lazarus from the dead? Maybe he did not, after all, raise Lazarus from the dead. We put all of our hopes. We risk everything. We put all of our hopes on you. So there is, after that, the anticlimax, the absolute sense of despair among the people. Maybe he is not the Messiah. I don't think those who cried Hosanna are the same ones who cried crucify him. I don't think so. I think those who cried Hosanna were sitting at home feeling very, very depressed, disappointed, and frustrated. But Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He enters the city. And I sometimes feel the relationship between Jesus and Jerusalem is like a one-way love. Someone in love with a girl who does not respond with the same feelings to him. You're in love with someone who doesn't love you. And Jesus comes to Jerusalem. But we see in the coming of Jesus a contradiction, a mix. The gospel says this is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Zacharias. Fear not, in Isaiah actually, in Zacharias, rejoice, daughter of Zion. Rejoice, your king is coming to you. Rejoice, he is coming finally. Your king is coming. Rejoice, don't be afraid, daughter of Zion. He is coming meek. He's coming to bring you peace. And if you ask the Jewish people today, what is the main sign of the coming of the Messiah? They will tell you peace. And their main objection that Jesus is the Messiah, he is not the Messiah, is that where is the peace? If your Jesus is the Messiah, where is the peace that he brought? That's one of their biggest blocks. Where is that peace? Your king is coming meek. Your king is coming on a donkey. Daughter of Zion, rejoice. But then what does Jesus do? He stops as he is going down the Mount of Olives, looks at the city, and cries over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, you have not known the time of your visitation. Oh, Jerusalem, if you know what is upcoming. Destruction. 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 So how can we bring that together? Rejoice, O daughter of Zion, the prophecy. And Jesus saying something totally different. Saying to Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, I'm crying over you. I'm weeping over you, Jerusalem. Your enemies will come and encircle you. He said to the women who were crying as he was going on the Via Dolorosa, saying, weep not on me, daughters of Jerusalem. Weep on yourselves. Don't weep on me. Well, one way to look at this is, daughter of Zion, do not be afraid. Yes, the sign is happening. My coming into Jerusalem is the sign that the promise, that the prophecy is fulfilled. What is written will happen. Don't be afraid. Yes, tough days are coming. But remember, I came. The prophecy has been fulfilled. Tough days are coming, but the promise is true. It might not be now, but it is true. Tough days are coming, but the prophecy is true. Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Rejoice, I have come, I'm here. Remember when the tough days come that the prophecy is true. When things go tough and not as you anticipated, remember, the word is true. The promise stands. This is one thing. Trust your king is here. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He is capable. He can save. He has the power. Have you seen? You've seen Lazarus come to life. Trust in your king, daughter of Zion. He can change. But at the same time, daughter of Zion, the coming of the king, the promise of the peacemaker doesn't excuse you of your responsibility to respond with receiving him. You see, the promise is here. But it's not only a one-side promise. To become a covenant, it'll have to be from both sides. You have to receive it. The King of Glory, the Savior is here, but you have to receive him. It's not enough that he's just come. You have to receive him. There is a responsibility on you. Jesus cries, I have come, you did not receive me. I have come, you rejected me. I have come, you didn't realize. Daughter of Zion, you have your part to play as well. Like now, even for the church, we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus, and he is coming, and he will come. As he promised. The good news stands. We look around the world and you see how awful it is. Look at the Middle East now. How can the church in Syria sing, Hosanna, O Sanna fil A'ali, Hoshana ba Marumim? How can it sing such a song in such days? How can we look with hope? Look at the world around you. You can easily get in despair. But the good news stand. He said he is coming. This is our blessed hope. And he will fulfill what he said he will fulfill. But that doesn't excuse us as a church from the responsibility to know the time, to be ready. And he said, watch, wait. You should wait. Bride, wait. Be alert. Be awake. Your king is coming. Be ready. And for the church in the Middle East, church, look up. It's grim. It's dark. It's evil. Be ready. Don't be ready only for yourself. Be ready to bring the good news to people around you. Spread the good news. Bring good tidings around you. You see, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Many things could have distracted him, but he was not distracted. He remained focused all the time. He remained focused. He knew why he came. He could have been distracted by lots of things. Even the whole thing around Lazarus and being raised from the dead. It's a miracle. For Jesus, it was a reminder of what is, like Mike said last week, what's coming for him. He faced death. He knew what he's about to face. He was going to enter the same tomb that he called Lazarus. Not the same place, but the tomb that he called Lazarus out from. The perfume from Mary and Lazarus and Martha was honoring of Jesus for him. It was the smell of perfuming the body when it's prepared for burial. He wasn't distracted. He saw everything from the point of view of his calling. Everything. Everything he saw it from what he has come to do, his name, Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. It's in his name. Whenever his mom would call him, he will remember. Whenever anybody will call his name, he will remember. His calling is in his name. When they were calling him Hosanna, as in Hebrew, Hosanna, Yeshua, it will remind him. That's his name. That's his destiny. And we were given a new name to be his followers, Christians, followers of Christ. This is your name. That's not your religion. To bring salvation to this dying world. Remember, don't get distracted. Jesus was not distracted. He remained focused. Even the Greeks who came said to the disciples, afterwards we read, we want to see Jesus. The Greeks, you know, we want to see Jesus. Jesus said, celebrity. The guy, the big shot, Jesus. Jesus said, the grain of wheat will fall. Otherwise, it remains lonely by itself. He saw everything from the prism of his calling, from his name. Jesus is entering. And he brings change. What about me and you? Where we enter, where we go, what do we bring? What about Jesus' entrance in your life? There's a question. Your king is coming. Would you receive him? Would you welcome him? Please don't miss. Please don't miss, like many have missed. He's coming meek to bring you salvation. Let us pray. Lord, I pray that your word will bring fruit in our lives. To be your children called by your name. Pray your salvation, your redemption, your blessing. Even on, not only on countries far away, but here, Reigate, Lord, as we go into places, as we enter, let us be like you, bringing salvation and life to many. Amen.